Good morning, church. Thank you for praying for me. I feel really well today. I'm almost 95% recovered. And I want to wish all of you a blessed new year ahead. Before we get into the sermon this morning, I'd like us to pray. Let us bow our heads as we commit this time to the Lord. Father, we pray, O God, that today You will speak to us, O God. May the word that goes out, Lord, shall not return void, but accomplish its purposes for which it was sent forth. Father, I pray that You will anoint me and that the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be pleasing to You. I pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people say, Amen. Hallelujah. Can you all see the slide? Isn't this a very common sight today? One of the first few things that many people wake up in the morning doing is that they check their messages. Right? This morning, I woke up and I immediately went into the internet and checked the score between Liverpool and Arsenal. How many of you watched that match last night? But that news had very little implication to many of us. The results don't matter to many of us. And how many of you remember GE14 on May the 9th? On May the 9th, many people were waiting. I waited until almost 2 a.m. and the result wasn't even announced yet. I was so tired and I fell asleep. And the next thing in the morning when I wake up, is that immediately I checked my phone. I wanted to know the results of GE14. I wanted to know whether it's a holiday or not, to be honest. The first thing that my children did that morning when they woke up is that they rushed to our room and asked, Daddy, is today a holiday? The GE14 result had some implication to all of us. Not just because Pakatan Harapan won and it was a holiday, but the result would determine who is going to govern Malaysia for the next 5 years. So it has some implication to many of us who live here in this beautiful land. But church, I want to share with you today about a very important message. Today, if I were to give a title to my message this morning, I would give the title, The Ultimate Message. Because this is the most important message in the history of the world since the beginning of God's creation. And this message has a far-reaching implication to all of us. How many of you here know what this message is all about? I am talking to you, church, about the message of the kingdom of God. This is the message that Jesus came and proclaimed to the world. And sometimes it is called the message of the good news of the kingdom of God. It is the message that Jesus preached. It is the message that apostles preached. And many of the people in the New Testament preached this message at that time. Have you heard of the message of the kingdom before? Before I go any further, I would like to give all of us a background of what the kingdom of God is. This is to get everybody on the same page before we go any further. And I put it to you, church, that the kingdom of God refers to the rule of Jesus in this world. And it is not a physical kingdom. It's not a country or any territorial area, but it is a spiritual kingdom. And when Jesus arrived in this world, He unveiled this kingdom. So the kingdom of God is now here, but the kingdom of God will not be fully consummated until the second coming of Jesus. That is why we have the concept that the kingdom of God is here, but not yet. And now, with the coming of the kingdom of God, we are living in a period called the latter days or end times. We are living in the end times. The Bible says that the kingdom of God comes when demons are driven out from a person because the rule of God has come into the life of this person, and this person is no longer under the grasp of the enemy. Matthew 12:28. And the message of the kingdom is a privileged message. The Bible says that even the prophets and the righteous people in the Bible longed to hear about this message, but they didn't get to hear. But all of us here, you and me, get to hear this message and respond to it. When Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God to outsiders, He spoke in parables. But to insiders, to His disciples, Jesus would speak about the kingdom in plain words so that we would understand and respond. And the Bible also say that those who hear the message and understand it, they will bear fruit. Some as much as 100 times, others 60, and others 30 times what was given to them. The message of the kingdom will make us to become fruitful and productive if we really hear and understand what it is saying. It means that the message of the kingdom brings tremendous blessings to us. Do you know that there are more than 100 passages in the Bible that speaks about God's desire to want His people to be blessed, to be fruitful, and to multiply? More than 100 verses in the Bible. And the message of the kingdom will change your life. Jesus told this parable about the kingdom of heaven is like a yeast that works in a 60 pound of dough. How much is 60 pounds of dough? That's a lot. But the yeast It's a transforming agent, and it is able to work until the whole dough is affected by the yeast. The message of the kingdom has transforming effects in our lives, and it has the power to change even the vilest offender to become a saint. This is the power of the message of the kingdom. And the kingdom of God finally is of great value. If not, it is of the greatest value. The greatest thing that has ever been offered to mankind. It is said that the kingdom of God is a merchant looking for the finest pearl. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had. I say that again. Everything he had, he sold to trade with this message of the kingdom. It is of great value. Ladies and gentlemen, there are very few things or few people in our lives that we would give everything up for. Jeremy said he would give everything up for his son Joel. Maybe a family member, your spouse, you would give everything, your life for. But the Bible says that when you truly understand the value of the kingdom of God, you would give everything you have for it. The message of the kingdom of God. It is so important, but really, very few have comprehended. Very few have understood what it really means. I can give you a few test questions to see, to test your understanding of whether how much you have embraced the principles of the kingdom of God into your life. Number one, have you allowed, if you have heard the message, have you allowed it to change you? Number two, this is a difficult one. Will I consider myself blessed or privileged if all things, material things, family members, are taken away from me? Something like Job. Will I still consider myself privileged and blessed? Church, because the kingdom of God has nothing to do with material riches or even relationships. It has to do everything about Jesus. We must come to a point in our life and say that when we have Jesus in our life, we have everything. Our blessing in life does not depend on anything external, but our relationship with Jesus. Because Jesus is all sufficient. Jesus is enough. He is more than enough. Have I been willing to give up everything for Jesus if he had asked me to? This is a question of lordship. Raymond just prayed this morning, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It's a question of lordship. Who is Lord of your life? If you understand the kingdom of God really, you will know that Jesus is Lord. And His word is final when He speaks to us. Now we are coming to our text today. This text will help us to understand what prevents us from understanding the message of the kingdom. This is a very familiar text, and too familiar sometimes. And I feel that this text is often preached outside of its context. Because the parable of the sower, the context is about the kingdom of God. In fact, the whole of Matthew 13 is about the kingdom of God. It is the various expressions about the kingdom of God which Jesus was trying to explain to us. So I'm going to read it to you, and please try to concentrate and understand, because this is important. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around Him that He got into a boat and sat in it. While all the people stood on the shore. When He told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 and 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message of the kingdom, everybody say message of the kingdom, because this gives us the context. Jesus is talking about the message of the kingdom that was sown into different kinds of soil. This is important. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last for a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among thorns refer to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 and 30 times what was sown. Excuse me. The parable here talks about there are two kinds of hearers. One group of people are the people who get it when they hear the message of the kingdom. They get it. They understand what he was saying. And another group of people, it's obviously the ones who do not get it. And Jesus explained to us various reasons why there are those who do not get the message. And the first reason that he gave to us is the devil. He uses the word the evil one. The evil one refers to the devil. Church, I want to tell you a revelation today that the devil does speak to us. Isn't this shocking to you? Sometimes Christians think they live in the bubble, that the devil cannot speak to us because we are under the protection of God. The devil can speak to us. What makes you think the devil cannot speak to you when he spoke to Jesus? And church, you can almost always anticipate this. When God speaks something to you, you can expect that the devil comes like that big fat bird to take away that message that God wants you to understand. Wants to steal away the message that God wants you to understand and know. Our role, church, is to recognize and resist the devil. We take out the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word, to extinguish. This is what Jesus did. Jesus said to Satan, "You get behind me." When Jesus was hungry, he was fasting, and he was so hungry that the devil came to Jesus and said, "If you are the Son of God, why don't you turn these stones into bread and you can have a feast?" Jesus said to him, Jesus used the sword of the Spirit and said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Recognize the voice. Resist the devil. Use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the second reason that Jesus gave why people do not get the message, and this time it's not the devil, But me, everybody say me. Me, when we hear the message of God, like today when I speak to you, some of you get very excited. I don't know whether that's true. But you hear it with joy. But this message is short-lived. It stays here, but it doesn't drop into your heart. The Bible says it has not taken root. Means you have not understood and internalized. You have not allowed the message to sink into your heart. And if this is the situation, no matter how many sermons you hear, how many messages, how many things you read in the Bible, if you do not let the Word of God take effect in your heart, nothing changes. Hear me, church. If you just hear the Word of God and you do nothing about it, your life will not be changed. You will not be blessed. This is the truth from your pastor. The only way that the Word of God can have an impact and effect in your life is that when you internalized it and practice what it says. And Jesus gave the third reason. The third reason is also because of me. Me, not the devil. Because we worry. How many of you here like to worry? We worry about everything in life. Things that happen and don't happen, going to happen, also worry. Sometimes in the day when we don't worry, we also worry. Because we like to worry so much. Let me tell you another revelation. That worrying is the most unproductive thing that you can do in life. Somebody once said that if you worry, it's like you are sitting on a rocking chair and you will go nowhere. You always rock here and there. Don't be silly. It's the most unproductive thing in life. This person will not be able to receive anything from God because the first reaction when they hear the message of the kingdom is worry. When you worry, nothing gets done. You will not be able to internalize the message that God wants you to hear because you worry too much. And Jesus said, not just the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Deceitfulness of wealth. Sometimes we can fall into the trap of preoccupation. Busy making money. Church, let me ask you a question. How much money is enough for you? How much is enough? I tell you, instinctively, we will always feel that we do not have enough money. Isn't this true? Instinctively, this is what with you. If you ask a rich man, how much more money do you want to earn? He will tell you one more dollar. Maybe now money is smaller. You say one more $1 million. Let me tell you, church, the pursuit of wealth is a slippery slope. The Bible calls it the deceitfulness of wealth. It will throw us off guard. It will cause us to be so preoccupied with making money that we missed out all the other most important message, like the message of the kingdom that Jesus wants to tell us. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is the truth, church. That if you have really heard the message and understood it, you will produce a crop 160 and 30 times what was sown. Jesus did not elaborate further. But if you read the Bible about the message of the kingdom in totality, you will be able to understand about the true blessing that Jesus brings. And when we embrace this message, our life will truly be blessed. You will be fruitful in your life. You will be productive. And you will experience a multiplication of the goodness. I'm not just talking about wealth. When Jesus blessed us, He blessed us in totality, holistically, physical, every area of our lives. He comes to bless us. We will be truly, truly, truly blessed. Not fakely, not falsely, but truly blessed. We will be truly happy. We will be free from worries in life. We will be satisfied and fulfilled. We will feel safe. We will feel secure. We will have full of hope in this life and the life hereafter. This is the message of the kingdom, church. Isn't this a real good deal? How much would you put a price tag on this? Because this is of infinite value. Jesus calls it the good news. And Jesus promises us the abundant life. Do not shortchange yourself, church. Jesus promises us abundant life. Sorry, this slide didn't come out well, but what I was trying to communicate here is going back to the story of the pearl merchant. The pearl merchant got the message. He got the message of the kingdom and he knew that this is a great deal. This is of infinite value. That he gave up everything. Sold it in exchange of the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Church, God wants the best for you. God can be fully trusted. He wants the best for you, for your life, for your family. And this message of the kingdom was proclaimed for you. It is for you to receive it. For you to understand it, internalize it, and live it. That you will be able to experience every promise, the abundant life that Jesus talked about. If this is the first time you heard about this message, let me tell you, my friends, that you can receive it right now by inviting Jesus into your heart. This is the first thing that you are to do. Receive Jesus into your heart. And the Holy Spirit will begin to unveil and reveal to you more and more, and help you to understand the message of the kingdom. That your life will not become unfruitful. That your life will not waste away. But you will be productive, you'll be fruitful, and you experience multiplication in your life. Better than what money can buy. This is the promise of Jesus, church. If you have not received Jesus into your life, do not walk out this door this morning. Pray with me. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you have come and bring this message of the kingdom for me. And now I receive you. I receive the message into my heart. And I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening. And I told my wife that one of the resolutions that I want to make is that I will not preach long sermons. And because people's concentration span is so short, and that we would like to keep the sermon to be within 30 minutes. I'm talking about myself, yeah. As much as possible. I think I missed slightly today. Let us close this time, and let's sing, right? Since it's early and we ask the worship team to come, and let's sing a closing song. Today is the last Sunday of 2018, and 2 days we will be ushering in the new year. So let's end this service praising God, our Savior, our Father, our Lord. Hallelujah. Let us all stand. Do you know the song, This Kingdom? You know the song, This Kingdom? Okay. Let us sing This Kingdom, okay? Sorry, worship team, I put you on the spot. And
Yes. D, are the words there? Jesus, God's righteousness revealed. The Son of Man, the Son of God, His kingdom come. Sacrifice, now glorified, now justified, His kingdom come, and His kingdom will know no man, and His glory shall know. This kingdom's King has come, and His kingdom's reign, and His kingdom's rule, and His kingdom's power and authority. And Jesus, God's righteousness redeemed. Expression of God's love.
Expression of God's love.
The grace of God, the Word of God.
The grace of God, the Word of God, revealed to us.
Jesus, God's holiness.
Jesus, God's holiness. Displayed, now glorified, now justified, His kingdom come, and His kingdom shall know no end, and His glory shall know. This kingdom's King has come.
This kingdom
and His kingdom's reign, and His kingdom's rule, and His kingdom's power and authority. And Jesus, God's righteousness. And His kingdom shall go no end, and His glory. For the majesty and power, now this kingdom's King has come, and this kingdom's rule, and this kingdom's rule, and this kingdom's power and authority, Jesus. God's righteousness.
Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. God, let your kingdom come and let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, even as we step into 2019, Lord, we ask, Father, that you work in us, O God, so that we can have hearts that are receptive to your word. We can have hearts that are willing to accept your word, O God, with meekness. That when you speak to us, we will not say, God, this is not of you. But instead, God, we will embrace your word and obey your word, O God, and see your kingdom come. Flowing through our lives, O God, to the many around us, Father. Father, we ask, O God, that you open up our eyes, open up our ears, O God, in this hour, O God, to see, O God, that there is a need, O God, to seek ye first the kingdom and your righteousness. Father, we want to commit our lives to you. We ask you to be with us, O God, all the way. Hold our hands. Carry us when we cannot carry ourselves. Take hold of us, O God, when we cannot take hold of ourselves. For you are faithful, God. Strengthen us, Lord. Strengthen us to keep walking with you and not to give up. Lord, we ask, O God, especially ask for myself and all of us, that in 2019 that we will have a steady walk with you. God, that we will seek you, we will talk to you every day. God, there will not be a day go by, O God, where we do not hear you speak to us or pray to you, Father. So we ask for that grace to be imparted upon our lives, Lord, so that we will seek you, O Lord, with all our hearts and all our minds, all our souls, that we will be pleasing to you. And Lord, as a church, we pray that 2019 will be a glorious year, a year full of your favor, anointing, and blessing, O Father God. Not so that we can just enjoy ourselves, but that we may be a blessing to all around us, Father. Use us as conduits. Use us, O God, as bread that is broken to feed the world, O Father. O God, and just cause us to say yes to you. Say yes to you. Say yes to you in everything that you want us to do. To obey you, to walk in your ways, to live righteously, to love deeply, and Lord, all these we commit to you, Lord. So Father, we commit ourselves to you, and we ask that you bless us even as we go our separate ways. May your angels go before us and just lead, open up the ways, open up doors of opportunities for us. May there be many, many open doors for us, O God, to walk in, so that Lord, we will be blessed by you and that we will be a blessing. So we commit all this to you. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Okay, just before you go, yeah, those of you who need prayer, the elders of the church will be right here to pray for you, alright? If you need prayer, just come out, alright? Thank you. Bless you.